You may be seated. Our next reading comes from the epistles. I'll be reading from the second letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is written within you through the laying on of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now here's that driving image I mentioned earlier in the service. And notice I choose my words carefully. I know some of you, and probably all of us, have been behind a reluctant driver. You know the reluctant driver, the one that pulls up to a yield sign at an exit or an entrance to a ramp. A reluctant driver who pulls up to the stop sign and just seems to miss every opportunity to merge into traffic, to pull into traffic. There's something that they are scared of, and so they very cautiously move out into traffic, and maybe I'll just put some words so maybe you'll be more kind the next time you're behind a reluctant driver. Maybe you say, it said yield and not surrender. But it sure seems like those drivers are very symbolic of the way many of us live our lives. We seem to be afraid. We seem to live in some sort of a fear. We're timid even. We're shy. And so this kind of emotion, I think, runs the gamut. Doesn't it seem like you know people? Or maybe you're thinking, well, he's talking about me. Do you know people that seem to be afraid of everything or lots of things, so much so that fear has begun to be the very thing that runs their lives? I think this opening to this letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy that I read to you, and whether you understand that Paul himself or one of Paul's followers wrote that letter, that's okay. We can agree to disagree, however you want to see that, but it is very emphatic. What we do know for certain is that Paul, on his first missionary journey that he left on, that began about 45 A.D. and lasted 3 years or so, he encountered Timothy. And if we put the chronology to this second letter, if we do the math, if we believe that Paul actually wrote this letter before he was martyred, then there was about a 20-year relationship that Paul and Timothy had. And in that time, of course, Timothy looked up to his mentor, Paul, the apostle. We also see in this letter that Paul is imprisoned and can't go to where Timothy is. So he writes this letter. And in this letter, we hear him addressing some of these very things, this fear that seems to somehow have gripped Timothy. Now, if Timothy has been mentored by Paul for over 20 years, then I think it's safe to say that Timothy was a person of God. They were involved in changing people's lives. They perhaps helped carry the banner of Christ into this world that was broken. That he knew Jesus himself, and somehow Timothy seems to be growing reluctant. So much so that this letter is written to encourage him. To move out of that place of fear or being timid. To move out of that place, maybe Timothy had grown shy as he grew older. Or maybe it was the fear of what was happening to Paul being jailed and facing execution that had Timothy scared. Whatever it is, I want to reread verse 7 to you. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So maybe fear or timidity, maybe that can be addressed by hearing this letter, by embracing this. You know, I think when we think of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, when we've raised them, when we've seen them small, how many of you can acknowledge that at some point in time they were afraid of something? You know, they wake up in the middle of the night, they see something that is more imaginary than real, but in their understanding, in their life, it's very real for them at that time. How many of us have interviewed for a job or applied for something that was very important to us at the time, and we live out those moments, those hours, those days, sometimes those weeks, waiting to hear if we were good enough or if we had the right stuff? How many of us live in that kind of understanding? The students in their classwork, waiting for the next exam. Will I remember enough to pass it? Will I do well enough to get a good job after I graduate? Will I be accepted to college or to university? Will my parents, my grandparents, will my friends be proud of me? We all, I think, experience this fear. I'm reminded of a story of a mountaineer, and the mountaineer left one day, and he was a week getting back. Week getting back to his home, and when he walked into the cabin, his wife looked at him, and clearly his clothes were torn. She looked at his shoes, and they were paper thin, the soles on the shoes, and the mountaineer was exhausted. And the wife said, "Where have you been?" And the man said, "Well, you know, last week I left to go check on the still." Mountaineer, remember? Mountain man. And on my way, a giant bear jumped out in front of me. And he said, "I started running. I was so afraid I started running." She said, "But you've been gone a week." And he said, "Yes, I've been walking back every day." How fast and how far he had run from that bear. I think a lot of us are afraid of the giant bear. Now, if you leave here this morning and you encounter a bear, I'm not even going to say a giant. If you see a bear, you have a right to be afraid, okay? You have permission to be afraid. You have permission to run. But I think what I'm getting at is not the fears of the evil that goes on in the world. I think that's a whole other message that the writer could have given to Timothy. I'm talking about the fears that you and I have that sometimes are things that grip us that don't have as much reality as that we want to give them, if that makes sense. Sometimes I think they're more what we've made them out to be than reality. And I think that's what Paul is talking to Timothy here in this letter, about working to get over those kinds of issues, to work beyond them, because when they grip us, it turns our lives upside down. Fear, even being timid sometimes, even being shy can turn our lives upside down. It can create havoc. I know a lot of you know the name Mel Tillis, the great singer-songwriter. You probably know that Mel Tillis has received several awards, country western music. I think in 2012, I think President Obama gave him a Medal of Arts award to recognize his contribution to the music industry for what he's done. But Mel Tillis wrote his autobiography, and it was called Stuttering Boy. Well, Mel Tillis stuttered all of his life. He stuttered almost the entirety of his life. And some of us would think, I would be reluctant. I would be afraid to enter into a conversation if I stuttered all the time. But the only time Mel Tillis didn't stutter was when he sang. And so those of you that are familiar with Mel Tillis knows that's how he was able to communicate like you and I typically do. in the face of stuttering. Well, Mel Tillis in his autobiography tells about a story one night when he and a friend of his named Wayne Walker and Johnny Paycheck checked into a motel. So they were traveling together. Wayne Walker and Mel Tillis got a downstairs room. They shared it together. Johnny Paycheck had to have a separate room. He was upstairs. Well, in the middle of the night, Mel Tillis says he hears this noise in his room. Now, he said he remembered locking the door, and he looked up from his bed, still kind of sleepy, and he sees someone going through the pants pockets of the clothes that were there in the room. What he didn't realize was that Johnny Paycheck had forgotten something in the car. He found the window to the motel room open. He had slid through the window to keep from waking Mel and Wayne Walker up and was looking for the car keys. And Mel Tillis said, "I was terrified. I didn't recognize him in the darkness. And I couldn't cry out. I couldn't talk. I couldn't communicate." So he started singing to Wayne that they were being robbed. I share that with you because those that are afraid of things, those that have to deal with this kind of place in life they are, find ways to move around it. But I think God gives us that pattern. God tells us, you know, "I haven't put in you this cowardice spirit. That's not in you. Oh, you may have other challenges, but I have given you this power," he says. "This power and this love. And I've given you this power and this love and self-discipline or self-control so that you can use it. So that you can work beyond your fears, beyond your anxieties." You know, I think some of us in here today would be afraid to get up and go around to everybody else in this room and introduce themselves. I just know it. I feel it in my heart sometimes. And yes, we've gotten some good reports lately about our hospitality efforts. We have outsiders who have told us, "You have a friendly church," but are there persons in here today who would rather go out and face that bear outside than to go meet the others whom I've gone to church with them for 20 years, but I don't know their name? You see that kind of fear, that kind of reluctance we have? But God hasn't planned that for us. We find ourselves there, and we get so afraid of trying to work beyond that we just kind of give up. We just kind of let the world around us consume us. We hear something, and instead of saying, "I'm not so sure about that," we just kind of fall in line with that kind of thinking. And so the fear of other people in this world. And if you have the chance, by the way, of reading the book that Bishop Will Willimon called The Fear of Others, you need to get that book. It's very simple. Bless my brother Johnny Irish. He brought it by my office 2 or 3 weeks ago, gave Zach and I a copy. Just thought so much of the book, he started passing them out to his clergy friends. It's a great reading that helps us understand how we can't be afraid of other people because we don't know them. They have lives. They have faces, they have names, and if we just kind of are afraid of them, we will never move forward. And so I think God gives us letters such as this. God puts people in our lives, such as Paul and Timothy, to remind us that God didn't plan a life of fear for us. God plans a life of boldness, of love, of grace. And thanks be to God's grace for allowing us to move beyond these fears. And so I think we need to name them. We need to say, "I am kind of shy. I am kind of timid. Maybe I am afraid." But by the grace of God, by understanding that every other person in here, out there, is a sinner in need of God's grace, that's a wonderful starting point. It puts us on the same playing field, you see. It puts us on the same level with one another so that we can begin to do and to become the person who God has called us to be, the people that God has shaped us to be, the people that God has hoped that we would be. This is a challenge that we have. And so we have to get beyond ourselves to work on that. To don't just discard it. Don't just pretend it doesn't exist. But to embrace it. And call upon the Lord to give us strength. To follow God's vision for this world instead of the competitiveness of the world that we're called to be in ministry to. To live faithfully and to live fully. To live fruitfully. To live expectantly. And so as we have this opportunity to be God's people, we do it knowing that only by the grace of God we go. And to follow in the footsteps of Jesus the Christ. To not be in the footsteps of those who mock, those who anger. To not even follow those who are reluctant, but to follow the boldness of God who is sending you and I out into the world to make a difference. Dr. E. Stanley Jones, one final story as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. Dr. E. Stanley Jones was preaching love in India. And he said an important layperson of one of the churches came forward and said, you know, I'm struggling. I have somebody in one of my churches who is being so negative, I think they're going to split the church. What should I do, Dr. Jones? And he said, increase the dosage. And the layman said, increase the dosage? Increase the dosage of what? Dr. Jones said, of love. Give more love. Be more loving. Be more grace-filled. Be more like God instead of trying to fix this in the ways the world has fixed things. We are the church. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to respond, to believe, to act. We are to be God's people as He has shown us in the life of Jesus Christ. And He's given us His Holy Spirit to empower us to not be afraid, but to go forward so that this world becomes more like the kingdom that God has designed and planned than like the world that we live in. So as you prepare your heart today, as you're readying yourself to come and to receive God's gift of love, that reminder, I hope and I pray that you see in this gift of love, the person that God is calling you to be, to begin to put aside your fears, your reservations, your doubts, and to live more fully into the life of Jesus the Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.